Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull.
Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads. It is Seth Lull, joined by my side, Jeff Carrier. We are back for part five. We're going to be breaking down players that are 30 years old or older. These are players, Jeff, you talk about them all the time, more so than I do. We argue about these players a lot. Players, when they reach the age of 30 and beyond, start to decline. They say father time is undefeated. So we are going to talk about some players that are either 30 or older and whether or not we like them moving forward for this season for fantasy. So we're going to do a little bit of buy or sell. I'm going to throw some players your way. And I might rattle off a couple stats for some of these players, and then you can tell me buy or sell. Buy, meaning you're not worried about the age. You like them for at least this season. Or sell, you're staying away due to age and other reasons. Sound good?
I'm excited, and I'm also excited that you got to open up the show. Give me a little bit of a breather here. I'm pumped. Let's get into this. 30-year-olds are one of my favorite things to talk about. Because one of the things I hate in fantasy football, we all hate this, but I try and pay very close attention to it, is the cliff effect, right? You have production from someone, they should be a sure thing, because we want give me the points. Give me the points. That's one of our strategies we talked about in episode one. But with 30-year-olds, they have this their bodies, they're just getting older. They can't perform at the same level. There's other contributing factors a lot of times, but, you know, great example before we jump into this, because he's not on a team right now, is Dez Bryant, 29 years old, going to be turning 30 in the middle of the season, but he is a shell of himself. So a lot of times with 30-year-olds, I look at it like this, Seth. I say, depending if they are a true elite, game-changing talent, then I'm willing to buy into them into their early 30s. Okay, one of them we're going to talk about with Fitzgerald, of course, Hall of Fame talent. If they're not, then usually someone's prime years are between 25, 26, and upwards of 29, 30. You know, somewhere between 25 and 30. So that's why we see a lot of these Dez Bryants and other people really hit a cliff at the age of 30. So excited to talk about it. Let's jump in with your first person.
All right. First person is Larry Fitzgerald. 34 years old. He turns 35 the end of this month. Buy or sell on Larry Fitzgerald. Now, one thing I will say about Larry Fitzgerald is he's kind of had he's rejuvenated his career over the past three seasons. 100 or more catches each of the past three seasons, 1,000 or more receiving yards each of the past three seasons, 6 or more touchdowns each of the past three seasons. He had a really rough 2014, one of probably the worst year of his entire career. And then it's really bounced back with Carson Palmer each of the last three seasons, and been one of the most underappreciated fantasy receivers. I mean, he's somebody that's going late in the third round, you know, early fourth, somewhere in there. If you took age out of it and just looked at his production over the last three seasons, this is a receiver that is going easily in the second round. But he's turning 35 end of this month. Are you buying or selling Larry Fitzgerald?
I would say out of every single player on this list that we're going to go over, he is by far the most difficult one to have a position on. If there was one I wish I could get a pass on, it would be Fitzgerald. So I say that before I make my decision. And my decision is actually to sell for a couple reasons. One is I never want to go against Fitzgerald, but I am worried about the offense. No more Bruce Arians. Are they going to use him the same? Looking back, talking about his resurgence, he had a lot of targets the previous 3 years before he started catching over 100 balls. It's just his catch percentage was in the low 60% or even as bad as 50%. Gets Carson Palmer in there, and now he's hitting 70%+ of his pass catches. So with Bruce Arians, his catch percentage went from 50s and 60% to up to 70, 75 in some instances. I don't think he's going to be able to replicate that with the new coach and the new system, new quarterback, too many unknowns. His yards per catch goes down every single year. So, again, I would love to pass, but if I'm going to pick one side, now his actual cost to buy him, his ADP, has risen. So all of those factors are, I'm going to probably not have any shares of Larry Fitzgerald this year. I am selling.
Yeah, and you always say, too, you'd rather be a year too early than a year too late. And Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, he's going to be 35 at the beginning of the season. If he does have a good season, this is probably going to be his last really good season. And chances are when a player hits 35, even possession receivers like Larry Fitzgerald, he's never relied on really on his speed or sheer athleticism, right? Even players like Larry Fitzgerald, like, it's going to come sometime. So you'd rather be a year too early than a year too late. And that's going to be a common theme with a lot of these 30-year-olds. The next player here is Demaryius Thomas, who turns 31 in December. He's 30 entering the season. This is a player, and you know I've talked about him a lot. He's a player that over the past four seasons has regressed in basically every statistical category. He's played 16 games every single season since 2012. So he is as durable a receiver as you're going to find in the NFL. But he's seen his receptions go down each of the past four seasons. 111 receptions 2014, steadily declining to 83 last season. His targets have gone down. Receiving yards steadily going down from 1,600 in 2014 to 949 last season. And his touchdowns have gone down from 14 to 11 to 6 and then 5 each of the last two seasons. Demaryius Thomas is somebody that is obviously over the age of 30, and you're still paying he's still in the Larry Fitzgerald range. You're still paying a fourth-round pick to get him, and he's not somebody that's been having over 100 catches like Larry Fitzgerald. He's not. He's arguably a borderline 1,000-yard receiver at this stage in his career, and he's not somebody that's going to get double-digit touchdowns. So on an offense that is still shaky with question marks with Case Keenum, he is a very sketchy play. You're still playing a decent round pick to get him. Are you buying or selling? I don't know if I influenced you there, but I think we're on the same page with DT.
Yeah, with DT, you have to sell. You just have to play a little bit more cautious and try and get ahead of this 1 year earlier than being 1 year too late. You could easily make the argument, very valid, that the last 2 years of his quarterbacks have been arguably some of the worst quarterback play that you've ever seen. I don't know if Case Keenum is literally that much better than his previous quarterbacks, as crazy as that might sound, especially after Case Keenum's year. But Case Keenum's been kind of bouncing around a little bit. I think the Denver Broncos might be in for a little bit of awakening this season, thinking that Case Keenum is going to be, the quarterback that they're looking for, consistent, winning. You know, I think there's going to be a bit of inconsistency there. DT's yards per catch has gone down every single year, which should happen, you know, when you're getting older. So for that reason and his ADP, I am also selling on DT. I'm 2 for 2 on selling 30-year-olds.
All right. And the third player I have here, we're going to stay on the Denver Broncos. His wide receiver, you know, his wide receiver mate, Emmanuel Sanders, 31 years old. He too has had easy, a little bit of durability issues, only played 12 games last season. His catches, you know, he had 76 catches in 2015, but he played one less game. So basically his receptions, his receiving yards, his touchdowns, his yards per catch have all gone down each of the past three seasons. And this is somebody who relies a little bit more on his speed than the likes of Demaryius Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald. At the age of 31, what do you think about Emmanuel Sanders, given where you're going to have to draft him in the seventh round?
Yeah, the fact that he's still going in the seventh round is probably the concerning part for me, because I could maybe say, you know, you could get him at a value if he's going a little bit later, and he might drop. I think there's going to be definitely some leagues out there where he does drop. I would start considering him maybe a round or two later, just because you can almost be guaranteed 120-plus targets and maybe close to 70-plus catches. And in that range, I think you might get some value. But as soon as he hits 30, after playing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in a row of 16 games, as soon as he hits 30, he already misses 4 games. You know, so a little bit of a breaking down issue there. I think I'm still selling unless I can get him a few rounds later for some reason.
I was just going to say, he
might be a really good auction person because he's the type of person that people might forget, might not be sexy, you can get for a few dollars. That might be the range I'd consider him in.
And I guess if you were to kind of average out, you know, he only played 12 games last season. If you were to play a full 16 games, you know, I don't know if there's that big of a difference between his production and DT's production. Would you rather have Emmanuel Sanders in at the end of the eighth round or Demaryius Thomas the end of the fourth round?
Definitely Emmanuel Sanders.
I agree. So I guess the only difference is you're not paying really a premium to get him as you would. You're still paying a premium with DT and Fitzgerald. What does concern me about Emmanuel Sanders is more the style receiver he is. You're going to see a sharper decline, and it's going to come quicker with somebody like him than it would maybe with DT or Fitzgerald. Now, fourth, we have one of my favorite receivers as a New England Patriots fan, Julian Edelman. He's 32 years old. He's really had durability issues his entire career. He's only played 16 games twice in his seven-year career. In this year, he's missing the first four games. How do you feel? I mean, he missed all of last season with the injury, and he's missing the first four games due to the suspension. At 32 years old, how do you feel about Julian Edelman, given where he's going? He's going middle of the sixth round.
Yeah, he's going middle of the sixth round in PPR leagues, of course. To me, I have to sell again. There's nothing that is encouraging other than the fact that he's on New England that I like about this, especially going in the sixth round. Coming off an ACL, being over the age of 30, they got a couple people in the offseason to play slot. Probably not going to be ready this year, you know, rookie out of Miami and so forth. But missing four games is a huge – that's probably the biggest thing. Like, I'm not going to draft someone. I might be willing to – I'd much rather maybe take him in, like, the late fourth, knowing he can start week one and seeing if he is who he is, versus drafting him in the sixth and having to stash him for an entire four games, entire month. I'm not doing that. Injury history, not doing that. So I'm off Julian Edelman. What about you? I'm guessing maybe you're still on.
I still like him. I think he's I always like the high volume receiving guys. I think when he comes back, he's going to be healthy. He's going to be motivated. If you can wait the first 4 weeks, New England always kind of starts off the season a little bit slow anyways. I think it's going to preserve Edelman's health. He's going to come back, and really his only competition is going to be Chris Hogan and Gronk for, you know, maybe Burkhead and a couple of the running backs. But I think this is still a guy that is, if he were to play 16 games, which has always been a question mark, is somebody that's going to get around 100 catches, around 1,000 yards, and a few touchdowns on a really good offense. So I'm hardly, you know, someone that's objective when it comes to Julian Edelman, because I think he's one of those players that I'm willing to overpay a little bit because I know what his floor is. But, you know, he's never been someone that's got a lot of touchdowns. He was on pace for, I think, like 15 touchdowns in 2015, the year when he got injured in the Giants game when he played nine games. He's really had he hasn't had more than six touchdowns his entire career any other season. So he's not going to give you touchdowns. He's missing a few weeks. I think with Edelman, it's really just going to come down to, you know, we know he's going in that six round range, and there aren't really any other receivers that I like. We talked about in the other episode, that's a range for our draft strategy that we don't like receivers in. Edelman would be the one guy that I'd be willing to take in that range, but it's questionable. I'd say, you know, I don't want to dodge the question here. I go back and forth. I think I would lean towards, just in general, I would lean towards buying.
Yeah, and you know, another factor too, along with coming off a knee injury and, of course, his age and his prior injury history is, you know, he had to take – Edelman reminds me of the exact, you know, blue-collar, super hard worker, work ethic, not super uber Hall of Fame talent like Larry Fitzgerald. So I think that those prime years – as I mentioned earlier, are shorter, and they're a lot closer to the age of 30 versus 34. And he had to take PEDs to apparently recover. You know, and I don't know how many people who really come back after PEDs and really performs well. I'd like to think all he's doing is playing in the slot. He's going to get a month off. He should be really ready to go. He didn't play at all last season. He got injured in the preseason, right? So he has all of those things going for him. But I'm going to sell, and I'm not going to probably have any shares of Julian Edelman.
Okay. So the next player is Jordy Nelson, 33 years old. Switching teams. He plays for the Oakland Raiders or Los Angeles Raiders. And, you know, he's coming off a year in which, you know, he missed a game. He's been relatively durable the last few seasons. But new team, no more Aaron Rodgers, new coach, new quarterback, whole nine yards. Where do you stand on Jordy Nelson, buy or sell?
Where's his ADP right now? Did you just say that?
So Jordy Nelson is going in the eighth round, end of the eighth round, 8.08 in a 12-team league.
I'm still kind of into Jordy Nelson. I think the bigger thing with me is that I'm super concerned about this offense. I don't know what to expect. You know, at first you think, okay, moving on from Jack Del Rio, conservative running, We can have some potential upside here with John Gruden back. The big thing with Jordy Nelson last year was not his catch percentage. I mean, his yards per catch were a little bit down, but he was healthy. He had a monster year coming off of the knee injury, right? So it's his targets. He only had 88 targets. Was the backup to Aaron Rodgers just not looking for him? So that's something that I'm thinking about. I think if you can buy into the Oakland Raiders offense, I think that he's going for a pretty good price. You know, what week did Aaron Rodgers get hurt? It was week 10 against Minnesota, correct? Is that right?
Yep.
Not one week after that he ever had 10 targets.
Yeah, I think my biggest he's an interesting one because age aside, and it's hard to say that, especially, you know, at 33, but age aside, I think my biggest issue with Jordy Nelson is just he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. I mean, it's as simple as that. Aaron Rodgers is
right. So that's what I mean. Like, I'm a little less concerned on the player as I am the situation.
Correct. Yeah. And you could say his ADP is reflective of that. So that's kind of baked into where he's going. I mean, if he was still in Green Bay, obviously he's probably somebody that's going in the fourth or fifth round at the latest. So you're getting him in the middle of the eighth round. I mean, and he's not like he's going to a team. Even if he was going to an Oakland team that was firing on all cylinders, I'd still say, well, doesn't have Aaron Rodgers. I'm still worried. But not only is he leaving Aaron Rodgers, he's going to an Oakland offense that is coming off a really down year all around. So I think I'm selling on Jordy Nelson. He's just not somebody that I don't want to die on that hill. I don't want to take a chance for Jordy. This is a player that I would exercise the whole, you know, I'm going to be a year too early than a year too late on him.
Yeah, I'm going to lean in your direction and agree with you as well, because one is this is that exact range that we just mentioned in the first episode of the drafts, 6 through 8, these wide receivers are very questionable, and man, they can burn you. Someone like Jordy could have a very solid season, and a la, you know what, maybe Emmanuel Sanders has done the last couple of years, barring the injury of last year, or DT, you know, maybe 60 to 80 catches, less than 1,000 yards, but, you know, 5 touchdowns, pretty respectable, pretty consistent, 11 points a week. But he could also, as you mentioned, just burn on that hill and just put up absolutely nothing, especially when you have a couple of the other people that are going in that range. So I think I'm going to lean towards your direction and probably and definitely fade him.
Now, next player, just turned 30 this summer, AJ Green. He's somebody that's still going to be going in the late second round. He seems like he's been a first round, you know, early second round receiver for his entire career. We see his ADP start to regress a little bit. He's somebody that the one thing I noticed with AJ Green is over the past few seasons is his targets. He's not the high target guy that he was early in his career. You know, 180 targets. He was his career high in 2013. He hasn't topped 140 targets since. And he's had a couple years where he missed some games. We've seen a little bit of durability issues, specifically in 2014 when he missed three games, and 2016 when he missed six games. When he plays, he's still a great receiver. Last year, 75 catches, 1,078 yards, eight touchdowns, which is, you know, specifically impressive when you consider how bad Cincinnati's offense is and how much Andy Dalton has struggled and that Marvin Lewis is their head coach. At the age of 30, entering his first season at the age of 30, where do you come down on A.J. Green? Are you buying or are you selling?
With A.J. Green, he's going to be the first person that we've talked about that I'm still buying for a couple different reasons. One of the main ones is I still believe in his talent. Going back to in terms of what kind of talent someone has and how far they can extend their elite playing years, A.J. Green fits that category. And not only that, for A.J. Green, why we've been on A.J. Green for, you know, I think since we've been doing this podcast, it seems like, is that he's not ever going in the first round, and now he's going at like pick 20 or something crazy. So you're getting a guy who was on the worst offense last year, the 32nd ranked offense in terms of points and yards per game. The Cincinnati Bengals were atrocious. They averaged less yards on offense last year than Indianapolis without Andrew Luck. Put that in perspective. And somehow A.J. Green still finished as the wide receiver 10 in PPR leagues. So if that's my floor, a wide receiver 10 on the 32nd ranked offense, yeah, you better believe I'm still into A.J. Green. He had his worst catch percentage last year. I know they still have the same quarterback and the same offense, so that's obviously a concern, but a healthy yards per catch at nearly 15 yards per reception, very solid. Still an elite receiver. He was healthy last year. Had 143 targets last year, so that was a more than enough of a level to make a big impact. So I'm still buying A.J. Green. I love him in the second round. If you compare him with one of those stud running backs, I love that combo.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. He's as safe as they come. Last year, you look at the 75 catches, 1,000 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That's his floor, and he has a little bit of room to grow on that and to build on that. If Andy Dalton can just have an okay year, if he can just be competent, which is asking a lot for Andy Dalton, but if he can be competent, I think A.J. Green could improve upon his numbers last year, and he is going at a great spot in drafts. Next player I have is Michael Crabtree, turning 31 in September. He is on the Baltimore Ravens, you know, so one of the, you know, to put it nicely, probably one of the least exciting offenses in the NFL. You know, Michael Crabtree, it's interesting. Michael Crabtree, we talked about Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders numbers going down each of the past few seasons. I mean, Michael Crabtree didn't play a full 16 games. He played 14 games last season. But if you take last season out of the equation, the previous three seasons, or the previous four seasons rather, he increased his reception total. He increased his receiving yards. He increased his yards per catch. And he increased his touchdowns, or he was very steady at touchdowns, 9 touchdowns, 2015, 8 touchdowns, 2016. So this is a guy who it seemed like he was on the way up for the past few seasons. And then last year, Oakland's entire offense was down. He missed a couple games, and now he goes to Baltimore. He's going at a really, you know, his ADP is in the 7 to 8 round range, you know, 6 to 8 round range, depending on size the league. So where do you come down on Michael Crabtree? Buy or sell?
I'm selling. I'm selling hard. I'm selling fast. I'm selling for pennies. We were a big Crabs fan for the last couple years, and I think for the most part, other than last year, when he kind of hit his regression right at the age of 30. No, you know, no surprise there. He's not an elite talent. Yep. And his ceiling really, you know, hit the wall. His ceiling hit the wall.
His ceiling hit the wall. Great Jeff quote. Jeffism.
Perfect. At the age of 30. So I'm looking at a few things in stats here, but Baltimore Ravens, I used to know this, this statistic and I can't find it now, but Joe Flacco, I believe, has never had a top 12 or 15 wide receiver ever. And I know you're not drafting him high, and I forget what that number is. It could be even worse, like a top 20 wide receiver. The Baltimore Ravens aren't very good at throwing. Joe Flacco's not very good at throwing. They want to run the ball. They want to play defense. There's nothing ever really been good coming out of wide receivers there. They had that one decent year, I guess, out of Steve Smith. And he's still going, what, in the eighth round? There's so many other people going in that range.
I miss Bo. He's going 6.04. This is one of the more puzzling ADPs that I've seen, because he is 30 now, which for somebody like Michael Crabtree is everything. He's going from what should have been one of the better offenses to one of the bottom three offenses probably in the entire NFL in Baltimore. And Baltimore is part of the reason why they've never had a top 12 receivers, because it always seems like, I mean, they can't draft wide receivers. They always go and try and get these wide receivers in free agency, you know, dating back to Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, Mike Wallace. And they're always okay. I mean, Steve Smith had a couple good years. Mike Wallace was very average. So Michael Crabtree in the sixth round, I mean, he's going ahead of Julian Edelman, and going ahead of players with much more upside. So I'm with you. I am 100% selling Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, Baltimore Ravens, they love this rotation of cast-off old wide receivers. Not all of them are all super old, but Michael Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Snead, Chris Moore. Are you serious? I mean, are you really serious? But they've been doing this for years. Macklin, Wallace, to your point, there is nothing to like here, and the ADP is very puzzling.
Next player, Antonio Brown, and he is still another year as the number one receiver being drafted. He is a mid-first round receiver, which is impressive, especially this year, given how many top running backs there are. He is 30, just turned 30 in July. Last year's highest yards per catch since 2011. I don't know what to say about Antonio Brown. He's as consistent as they come. If we're nitpicking, you know, he missed two games last year, missed a game the year before. But we're talking about somebody with 1,200 or more receiving yards each of the past five seasons, 100 catches or more each of the past five seasons, 8 touchdowns or more each of the past five seasons. And this is for somebody who's under 6 feet, which is even more impressive. So buy or sell Antonio Brown.
I'm buying. He's elite Hall of Fame talent, and I think that he'll be able to at least produce at a very high level. I'm not too sure at this level that he's been doing for how much longer, but I don't think you're going to get burn, even if you take him at pick 5 overall for the next couple years. So I think until he starts hitting age 32-ish, I still feel pretty confident in there. Change in offensive coordinator, be interested in seeing how that looks. But I can't imagine that has really any impact on Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, he could have 90 catches, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, and what would be a one of the worst years of his career, and that would still be a great season. So you're getting him in the middle of the first round. I mean, 1.05, according to Fantasy Football Calculator for a 12-team league. But you know, I've seen him drop even further with the rise of Saquon Barkley, and you have Alvin Kamara there. I wouldn't be surprised if Antonio Brown drops to 6 or 7. That's just completely ridiculous. So I think we're looking at least one more year as the number one fantasy wide receiver for Antonio Brown.
And we've got, you know, this is an interesting time, just like a lot of these older quarterbacks kind of on their way out with Peyton Manning just retiring, then Tom Brady, then Drew Brees. Phillip Rivers is getting up there. You have a lot of these wide receivers that we've been so accustomed to for so long. A.J. Green, Dez Bryant is completely washed up. Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, all hitting that age 30. You know, so we got a lot of really good receivers kind of getting over the hill here a little bit.
And then a couple more receivers that are, you know, I guess you could say on the lower end in terms of ADP. You know, one guy who's basically an afterthought right now. I mean, I don't even know if he's on anybody's radar, if he's getting drafted, or bring him up basically because of his decline last year when he was in his first year at the age of 30. And that's DeSean Jackson. Missed a couple games. His lowest yards per catch in his entire career, down significantly. 13.4 average yards per catch last year for DeSean Jackson. And he was up at, you know, 16 or more each of the previous four seasons. Gone are the days of DeSean Jackson as the, you know, the deep threat per se. In a Tampa Bay offense where Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be the quarterback for 4 weeks, he's playing second fiddle to Mike Evans. You have O.J. Howard on the come up. DeSean Jackson, is he draftable in your eyes?
No, he hasn't been draftable in a couple of years in my eyes because you don't know when to play him. He hasn't had over 56 catches since 2013. What are we doing here? I mean, and yep. He's just over 30 now. No surprise that, especially with someone with his type of skill set in terms of speed, that his talents and skills are diminishing. We've already heard reports out of Tampa Bay that they have Chris Godwin running with the ones on the outside a lot and was really unhappy with DeSean Jackson last year, as they should have been. He will likely be a complete, minute, just non-difference maker one single week, I don't think.
Yeah, and again, and I think he's nowhere on anybody's radar. He's not going to be drafted, but I bring him up more so because of we saw that his big regression last year, his first year at the age of 30, and to top it all off, he hasn't played a full 16 games since 2013. He's actually only played 16 games twice in his entire career.
Yeah, so, we've been selling DeSean Jackson our entire fantasy careers, and there's only one season we've ever been burned, which was 2013 when he had 82 catches for 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns, in which, you know, we were wrong that year and right the other 10. I don't know. So,
last receiver, Pierre Garçon, 32 years old. You know, missed 8 games last season. He's a possession receiver. He had 0 touchdowns last year for San Fran. I know they had a really bad offense. Even with Jimmy G back and Pierre Garçon healthy, at the age of 32, are you buying or are you selling Pierre Garçon for where, you know, relative to where he's being drafted, which is going to be, you know, 7.11, end of the 7th round?
It's weird. I actually thought Pierre Garçon got hurt last year. that might be indicative of...
He did. He got. He only played 8 games.
He right. He played 8 games. Yep. Yeah. I'm selling Pierre Garçon. I know he was 31 last year. He's gonna be 32 this year. He's got nothing left in the tank. They've got a rookie wide receiver coming in. They got Marquise Goodwin. They had a rookie last year that played pretty decent out of the slot. Trent Taylor. They have a really young, promising tight end, George Kittle. A little banged up, I know. Obviously running backs, there's not enough going around. And what's his ADP?
7.11.
Yeah, and you're still drafting him like as if he didn't get hurt last year and didn't do anything. I don't understand that.
Yeah, so he's never had more than 6 touchdowns in his 11-year career. He's only been over 1,000 yards twice, and he's had Peyton Manning for several years. He had RG3 when RG3 was good. He's had Kirk Cousins. So he hasn't been a guy that's really proven, even in his best years. I think he really only had one great year in his entire career. That was 2013. Now at the age of 32, I think Marquise Goodwin is probably the receiver that you want to own, and you can get him after Pierre Garçon. So,
you did forget one wide receiver, though. Very interesting one. Very important one. Doug Baldwin will be turning 30 in September.
All right, so turning 30 in September. I'm already 30. Doug Baldwin, but relative to his ADP, I think that we're going to see some movement on his ADP given, you know, what we've seen with his injury, right? So I think that they'll have to monitor that injury. Doug Baldwin still going in the early 3rd round, I would have to sell. But overall, as a player, I still like Doug Baldwin. I still think he has another couple good years in him.
Yep, I'm buying Doug Baldwin, barring health, of course. That's going to be a big thing. I really need to monitor this. So let's play the ADP game of
3.08 for Doug Baldwin. So his ADP has gone down. It has responded to the news of his injury and the uncertainty. So you're getting him at a pretty good range, right in front of Larry Fitzgerald, right behind Stephon Diggs. What do you think about that ADP?
as long as he's on the field, I like it, which is going to be a very difficult decision. I guess we can't say, well, if he's healthy, would you take him here? Because it would be yes. If he's not healthy, then, you know, I don't think any of us could really answer that because we need more information. Well, when is he supposed to return, et cetera? But what is different from last year with Doug Baldwin? Do they have a bad offensive line? Yes. Is Russell Wilson still there? Yes. Do they have anyone else that they could throw the ball to? No, they don't even have Jimmy Graham. So he's never had more than 125 targets in a single year. You mentioned Pierre Garçon's 2013. He had 181 targets. This could be the year that Doug Baldwin hits his best target year that he's ever had, just because Russell Wilson needs someone to throw the ball to.
I agree. And he's going at 3.08. So Travis Kelce's going at 3.07. Ideally, I want to get Kelce there. But if someone takes Kelce right before you and you're stuck with the, you know, Doug Baldwin, Larry Fitzgerald, Stephon Diggs, good problem to have. Let's say Stephon Diggs has gone too. I'm taking Doug Baldwin over Larry Fitzgerald, unless his injury risk is even more substantial than it is right now.
But if it is, his ADP won't be there. Exactly. For one. And two, I agree with Travis Kelce. That I would take Travis Kelce over Doug Baldwin, so we can clear that up for everyone. And I already talked about being on the selling side of Larry Fitzgerald. So Baldwin, I would take over Larry Fitzgerald.
All right, I want to get to a couple running backs. There aren't as many running backs because the draft is dominated by young up-and-coming running backs. I think the first three rounds, all the running backs are 26 years old or younger. Let's start with LeSean McCoy, who is one of the more intriguing running backs, I think, this year, or one of the more intriguing players in all of fantasy, just because of how good he's been in the past few seasons and where he's going right now. His ADP is 3.04. So he's going right around the Alex Collins, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon range. And this is a guy who is 30 years old, just turned 30 this summer. He's coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in Buffalo. 13 touchdowns in 2016, followed up with 6 touchdowns. So he's still someone that's going to get touchdowns. Some of the explosiveness is gone. It's a career low in yards per carry last year at 4 yards per carry. But definitely somebody that's going to get a lot of carries. 287 carries last year for Buffalo, his highest carry total since 2014. Where do you come down on LeSean McCoy? Because there is the off-the-field stuff. But at the age of 30, in the third round, buy or sell LeSean McCoy?
Since we're so close to the season, I don't know if this off-the-field potential suspension is going to come in play, but we definitely need to keep an eye on that. That's definitely important. LeSean McCoy, I feel like this year he is going to have – another year where he's going to be able to put up volume and turn it into points. That being said, I am selling. I am selling as fast as I can. I am not drafting him in the third or the fourth round. You know, we do something where we do, last year we did on 4 Hour Talking Heads Nation, we did a draft grid. And in each round, we would put players that are going, but we want you to completely avoid them in that round. It just didn't make sense. There's no value. The risk tolerance is not acceptable. LeSean McCoy in the third and fourth round, even the fourth round, is not acceptable for me. Much rather have Zach Ertz. I think he might be able to muster out one more season, but this is definitely the case of his upside is extremely limited, for one. And I just want to be 1 year early. So he can go and have an potentially okay season, but I just want to avoid that disastrous season that potentially could happen.
Well, I disagree that his upside is limited. I think he has upside. I think the problem with LeSean McCoy is there are question marks. The off-the-field stuff and then his age, which I'm not as worried about this year. But I think where I would have to be with LeSean McCoy is he would have to fall to the fourth round. Because you look at – we talked about Travis Kelce a lot already. We love him. You have the Doug Baldwin, Larry Fitzgerald, Tyreek Hill trio going right through the end of the third round. when you get to the 3.12 range to the fourth round, that's when you have Alex Collins, Demaryius Thomas, Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, you're listing off running backs though, and this is
and Zach Ertz. I would take him over Zach Ertz. I think
you would take him over Zach Ertz.
That would be a toss up. That would be I think if by the time the draft comes around, if he's going to play week one and there's nothing holding him back from playing, I think that would be probably a coin flip. But I think I would hopefully at that point I already have Travis Kelce. And then I'm grabbing LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, but we know how hard it is to get Travis Kelce. There's only one of them, and there's 9 to 11 other teams in your league. So it's actually very difficult to get Travis Kelce. So you have Zach Ertz in the fourth round. And then what about Juju Smith-Schuster? Do you take him and McCoy?
I take LeSean McCoy, I think.
See, not me. There's too many other people.
And again, the difference is from as we stand right now, that would be tough. I might lean towards Schuster. But we have a few weeks until drafts, until the beginning of the season, that if LeSean McCoy, if there's nothing keeping him from starting, if he's healthy, if the off-field stuff, if nothing is in his way, it's hard for me to pass up on a guy who's rushed for over 1,000 yards 4 out of the last 5 seasons and is really the only show in town on an offense that is going to be just feeding him the ball. And we talked about how bad that division is in terms of defenses. I think that he is going to... It would be really hard for me to pass up on LeSean McCoy. Schuster's, I did look at him. That is close though.
Yeah, I think of it a little bit differently because like I'm not afraid of losing the 1,000 yards. Like, okay, you get 1,000 yards, but me getting
he's also had 50 over 50 or more catches each of the past 2 seasons. You know, so this is a guy who's basically a walking total 10 touchdown guy. 50 plus reception guy, 1,000 plus. He does so much. He's one of the best all around running backs in terms of just pure fantasy production. And then you're getting him in the fourth round, where there are a lot of run. And again, I know I keep mentioning running backs, but there are good receivers. But I think he's one of the. I just think he's in a unique position. And if you can get him in the mid fourth round. Based on what he's produced the past few seasons.
Maybe the mid-fourth round. But there's too many other people that are just way more exciting and I think has a fairly similar floor within Zach Ertz and Juju being two phenomenal examples. I mean, we got to remember that things change and evolve. The Buffalo Bills don't have Tyrod Taylor, who is a significantly better quarterback than they have on staff right now. He's also a scrambling quarterback, which helps out the running. They also lost several members of their offensive line in Eric Wood and Richie Incognito. They had one of the best offensive lines going into last year in terms of yards per touch, in terms of how many yards they opened up for LeSean McCoy before he got touched. So they have Vladimir Dukas playing left guard for them right now. I mean, this guy's been a cast-off for several years. This is a making of very high risk. I like the pivot. I could see him maybe getting the volume like you're talking about, but I'm not pivoting to a Royce Freeman or, you know, I don't know, a Rashard Penny or a Corey Davis. Like, I'm pivoting to some pretty proven, really good and high upside players, and I just don't see why you would ever consider I'm just standing away from LeSean McCoy to almost to a detriment.
Yeah, I can see that, and I can see that point of view. I think it's close. It's why I think he's one of the more interesting players, because he's so talented, and you're not going to have to probably spend a first 3-round pick on him. So,
but I mean,
let's
he's
get
going
to
304. So it's as of right now, you are.
Yeah, I guess as of right now, you are. But ideally, I wouldn't want him until the fourth round pick. So I'm not considering him in the third round, I guess is what I'm saying. So if he's in the fourth round, you're not going to have to pay a first 3-round pick on him. That's how it could help justify it, given his production and the fact that he's still a true RB1. But let's get to Marshawn Lynch, who's the other running back we're going to talk about. 32 years old, don't want to spend a ton of time on Marshawn Lynch. Has really had a rough go at it the past 2 seasons. He sat out all of the 2016 season. Hasn't played 16 games since 2014. Doesn't catch the ball. 20 catches last season. He's never had more than, you know, he had 47 catches 2008, but he's never been – his whole time in Seattle, he never even eclipsed 40 receptions. And he's still going. I mean, when you look at the ADP for Marshawn Lynch, let me just pull it up right here, he's still somebody that it seems like he's going way too high, 7.04. I'm selling Marshawn Lynch. What about you?
Selling. We were selling last year. I think we hit the nail on the head on that one. The fact that people are still drafting this guy is beyond me. They go in and grab Doug Martin. It's a mess. It's a mess in that backfield right now. So I'm staying away from Marshawn Lynch. And to your point, you know, I thought he looked okay as a runner last year. You know, the offense kind of really struggled, but he's not going to catch the ball. They're going to rotate in different backs, most likely. I mean, he's got the goal line duties, most likely, so that's a plus, but especially where he's going.
Yeah.
That's a complete fade right there, pretty easy one.
Yeah, and we'll do same player, different round in a separate episode, but, you know, what's the difference between Marshawn Lynch in the 7th round and LeGarrette Blount in the 13th round? Not a whole lot. So
Zero.
All right, two tight ends over the age of 30 that are notable. Jimmy Graham, 31 years old. He actually turns 32 in November. Buy or sell Jimmy Graham?
You know, I'm selling purely on his ADP. And the other person, we'll just kind of lump them in together. The other person is what, Greg Olsen?
Yep.
I don't mind either of them as a player. I think they'll be pretty productive. I think they'll be pretty efficient for the team. I think they're important for the team. Fantasy purposes and where they're going ADP, I'm selling.
Yeah, and Jimmy Graham used to be basically a receiving tight end with high volume catches, and now he's turned into, you know, he's seen his yards per catch lowest in his career last year at 9.1. He's basically a red zone threat. He's basically somebody that is going to potentially still get 8 to 10 touchdowns, but he's not going to have over, you know, 70 receptions. He's probably not going to have 1,000 receiving yards. You're paying for the touchdowns, and at where he's being drafted, I'm selling. Greg Olsen, I'm probably selling too, and our tight end strategy is reflective of that because we are, hey, get Travis Kelce, get Zach Ertz. If you can't get them, you're waiting. So I'm selling on both too.
Yep, and that's going to wrap up our episode on 30-year-old players. We will be back for our next part of the draft series special with second and third year players to keep an eye on. Always an exciting topic.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that 3 times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.